This is Central Time. Now, Wisconsin was once a leader in the production of industrial hemp before the crop fell out of favor and fell out of the law in the 1970s. But now, after a year of a hemp pilot program, interest in growing and processing the plant is exploding. With more than 1,400 people applying to grow the crop and about 700 more interested in processing, there's potential for a rebirth of hemp in Wisconsin. Molly Stentz is the news director for WORT-FM in Madison. She wrote the piece, The Comeback Crop, for Madison's alt-weekly Isthmus. Molly, thanks a lot for joining us here in the studio today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Well, I mentioned hemp used to be a big deal here in Wisconsin. Can you give us a little bit of that history?
Sure. So Wisconsin was actually one of the leaders in the nation for hemp production. And for hemp, we should say this is distinct from marijuana, right? No THC, very trace amount, so it won't give you high. This was used to produce rope, to produce textiles, but mainly rope for the Navy in the early part of this last century. So we were one of the leading producers until the law prohibited it.
And it was because it's the same plant that produces the THC-laden marijuana, even though the concentrations were low, too low to be useful in that way, but it kind of got caught in the crossfire.
Exactly. So you can smoke industrial hemp. We should say there's three different kind of main markets for hemp. There's the fiber and textile market. That's what we used to be known for here in Wisconsin, but there's not really a market for it right now. So most people who are growing it in Wisconsin, and again, it's just 1 year into the rebirth of this industry. So they're growing it for either CBD oil or they're growing it for the hemp seeds as, you know, a nutritional supplement.
Let's talk about CBD because that seems like a big potential market here. People are hoping for a lot of health benefits to CBD oil. They're not necessarily proven yet, though, for the most part.
Right. So one of the, and that's what a lot of people are pointing to, you know, there's a lack of scientific research. But one of the reasons why that is because it has been prohibited to grow or sell because cannabis sativa, the plant, was listed as a controlled substance by the DEA. There really weren't avenues to study this. So, big public universities were worried about, you know, potentially losing other federal funding, you know, if they were to try this. Obviously, it just there wasn't a lot of room for study. So therefore, it's unknown.
So we've got changes in state law and now in the U.S. Farm Bill saying, OK, hemp is all right now. Getting it into the fields and into production, and this is the heart of your piece, really, isn't necessarily so easy. Can you talk about some of the obstacles that farmers that you talk to are running into?
Sure. So it's grown differently depending on how you plan to market it, where you're going to sell it. So for the row crop farmers, for those hoping to sell it for the grain or for the seed, for hemp seed, there was a lot of issues with the wet spring we had last year. You know, a lot of rain, also a lot of mold. So and that's one of the, I think, the areas of research that needs to be done and will be done in years to come is the effect of white mold on hemp. But on the CBD side, that was more profitable. More people grew for CBD in Wisconsin. But there were still things to figure out. A lot of them had to do with law enforcement and getting mistaken for marijuana because it looks the same, it smells the same. And so there was a lot of kind of mistaken identity happening across the state.
And in some cases, one memo going out from the state, then another memo. And depending on which one you read most recently, that's going to tell a law enforcement officer something very different.
Exactly. And that's what the state DACAP was saying. They were fielding calls from local sheriffs trying to figure out, is this actually a legit site or not?
And there's also kind of a loss of institutional and just basic farm how-to knowledge when it comes to hemp, you write. So whereas if you're growing corn or soy, you can call Extension, you can talk to other farmers, your parents might have taught you this. Hemp, we had this big 5-decade interruption.
Exactly. So that knowledge really hasn't carried on. It's not there in DATCAP. It's not in our public universities anymore. So that's something that could change now with the legalization, with the Farm Bill, and with the pilot program here in Wisconsin. Farmers are interested to know what type of variety. you know, works best in the Wisconsin climate. You know, a lot of them were developed for the West Coast, right? So what works best for Wisconsin soils, Wisconsin climate? And then having to figure out how to dry it and process it and then find somebody to extract it, you know, to press the oil to sell for CBD. All of that kind of supply chain needs to be figured out.
We're talking with Molly Stentz, news director for WORT-FM in Madison. She's joining us to talk about her piece on industrial hemp in Wisconsin. It's titled The Comeback Crop, that appeared in Isthmus. You can join us at 800-642-1234. Would you be interested in growing or processing industrial hemp? Are you one of the farmers in the state or one of the processors actually trying to make this a reality right now? Would you like to see hemp used for even more purposes? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now we continue our conversation with Molly Stentz. She's in the studio with us to talk about a piece she wrote for Madison's alt-weekly newspaper, Isthmus. It's called The Comeback Crop, about industrial hemp here in the state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you glad to see hemp making a comeback? Do you have concerns about the growing industry? Are you doing this yourself? Are you looking to be one of Wisconsin's new generation of hemp farmers or processors? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll go to your calls now. Jordan is on the line in Marengo. Jordan, hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what do you want to tell us about, Jordan?
Well, back in the late 80s, early 90s, my brother-in-law and I were pretty early importers of hemp fabric to Wisconsin from Romania and China. And we used two different custom factories to build musical transport instrument gear and stuff like that. And at that point, I think we were a little ahead of the curve insofar as the market wasn't open yet and marketing was quite difficult. I think now with the increased awareness that the market is finally ready to catch up with the technology. I have a few guitar cases that we had built at a professional factory 20 years ago that I still drag out to gigs all the time, and the material has held up beautifully. Also, from a law enforcement and marijuana standpoint, I think it's very important for people to keep track of the fact that potency in marijuana is always a recessive gene. So if we have stands of hemp blowing their pollen all over the place, it will essentially destroy the outdoor marijuana industry, because everybody's pot for recreational purposes will be full of seeds, and those seeds will be absolutely useless for recreational purposes. So,
interesting. Jordan, I'm going to jump in and bring our guest in on this now. Thanks for the call. So Jordan was using hemp imported from other countries. Now, we don't have a lot of that here, but is the expectation, Molly, that, okay, now that it's legal, people like Jordan who want to use hemp to produce guitar cases or whatever might start creating that kind of demand for hemp?
Yeah, I think that's the hope. And from some of the processors I spoke with, they really were hoping that that would also be an additional revenue stream for farmers, so that they could grow the crop for the seed, and then the stalk is what could be harvested and then turned into fiber. It can also be turned into building material and all kinds of other things. There just isn't the infrastructure now for the market yet. A lot of that has been done in Canada because they were ahead of, you know, many states in the across the country as far as legalization goes, but there's just not infrastructure here yet.
And when it comes to THC levels too, the state is requiring testing, right? To make sure that industrial hemp is actually industrial hemp and nothing
absolutely,
else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you have to be licensed. This is a crop. It's unlike, you know, many other crops, many other vegetables or anything. You have to be licensed. You have to register, you know, and part of that is that you have to be tested by the state agriculture department. They're going to come out in the summer. They're going to take samples of your plant and they're going to test it for THC, and it has to test below 0.3%. So less than 1%. Nothing that can get you high.
Let's bring on another caller now. Marcus is with us in Madison. Marcus, hello.
Yeah, good afternoon, Ms. Stentz. I've been listening to the commentary about this for the last year or so, and it always seems to revolve around the same handful of points, the giddiness over its connection to illegality and whatnot. As I understand it, hemp production has been completely automated since about 1911. As I see it, this looks like an opportunity for a limited number of investors, but so far the number of jobs that will be created seem to be minuscule and pretty low wage at that.
Marcus, thanks for the call. Molly, he's saying worried that there won't be a lot of jobs after all this hullabaloo and that they might not pay that well.
Yeah, well, I think as far as the farmers are concerned, they're looking at this as an extra source of revenue for their farms to help keep their farms vibrant, keep rural communities alive. So whether there is some automation in the row crop side, in the grain side. I mean, certainly that's done with big combines, but there still are people involved. The CBD side is much more labor intensive. That's actually done by hand. People are harvesting by hand. So there certainly are people, there are jobs there. And then on the processing end, I think the processors are waiting a few more years to see what the yields look like in Wisconsin before determining whether and where to build processing facilities. So I think it's just 1 year of data isn't really a lot to judge whether to make a huge investment in the state as far as processing goes.
I want to get to one more obstacle that you laid out in your piece, financing, bank loans. What are farmers running into as they look for financing for hemp production?
Yeah, so last year, it was definitely the case that, you know, you couldn't get a bank loan, you couldn't get FSA loans from the government, you couldn't get finances, you couldn't even set up a checking account for this type of thing because of the federal prohibition. Even though it was state legal, it's not federally legal, right? So banks, many of which are federally chartered, don't want to touch it. But now that it is legal, there's still a learning curve. So some of the bankers I spoke with said, you know, we really want to know how to make a sound business investment. And we just don't know that yet. So we want to know, you know, which varieties are known to be good. We want to be able to analyze their business plan and know that it's solid before we invest.
As we look at applications that are going up, as you write in the piece, do you get the sense that farmers are saying, okay, I want to convert a majority of my acreage, or are they saying, we want to try this on part of our fields?
No, I think they're trying it, because one thing is the seed is really expensive compared to corn, compared to vegetables or other things. I mean, we're talking more than $1 a seed here. So it's a pretty significant investment to start. So I think people are trying it out. You know, a lot of the CBD farms, it's actually small acres, you know, an acre, 2 acres. They're small plots, but it's really high value. So
people aren't risking their entire enterprise to get into hemp.
Yeah, and
point.
I think because of the wet year that it was last year and the mold issues with the row crop farmers who could potentially do 50, 100 acres, they're just trying it out to make sure, again, they can get the right varieties, the right seed stock, they know the right fertilizer mix, they can harvest it okay. You know, there's the issue with people's combines catching on fire. I mean, that actually happened, you know, just because it's so tough, right? That stock, the reason why it's useful for all these things is because it's tough. Well, that makes it really hard to cut down.
We'll leave it there for now, Molly. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks.
That's Molly Stentz, news director at WORTFM in Madison. She wrote the cover story, The Comeback Crop, for Madison's alt-weekly Isthmus, and she joined us to talk about the current state of industrial hemp in Wisconsin.